welcome you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in again today. And we're going to go into our second study of the letter F3. It's our third study in the letter F in the ABCs of Christian Growth. Fear and fear of the Lord. Fear and fear of the Lord. We began our last recording. It was the first study in our pursuit of finding something out in the Scriptures concerning fear and fear in the Lord, fear of the Lord. We had one study prior to this, and when we went over it, just to recap just a little bit, I think all we done was talked about definitions and things of that nature, and why fear, fear is found in the Scriptures in a variety of ways, and over 500 times, as a matter of fact, and the majority of them being in the Old Testament, and that the Lord Himself spoke the word fear in one variation or another in the Scriptures during His ministry. And some very, very important doctrinal places where He spoke of fear and where fear should be taken heed to when the Lord spoke about fear. It's something that you ought to read and take heed to, because you figure the Son of God talking about being scared of something or talking about fear in something, that's pretty important. It's pretty important, but that's something that the world is not interested in, is letting God scare them. If there's anything in the world, and, you know, they get that from the devil, because, I mean, you'd figure the devil would be scared to death by now, but he is in such a way, you figure out of all the relationship that he's had with the Lord, being created, being a cherub, being the fifth cherub, and being the covering cherub, and being downgraded, and now he's a dragon, and he is called Satan, no longer Lucifer, and the things, and the relationship that he has had with Almighty God, and him knowing God's power, and going through the book of Job with him, and his daring challenges to the Lord, and his things that he says to the Lord, and the way that he speaks to the Lord, you would think he'd be scared to death and shaken. Moses said that he exceedingly trembled and quaked. And Moses probably has seen God and been around the Lord more than any prophet in the Scriptures. Or pretty close. But he said that he exceedingly trembled and quaked when whatever it was that he seen having to do with God's presence. But you would think that the enemy, that he would be scared. But he's not. He's not. The Bible says he knows that God's told him what's going to happen to him. He's going to be brought down. He's going to be brought down to hell. And the Scriptures have declared it, and it's going to happen. And he still got his mind set on, I will. He said those five I wills, and his plans take over God's throne. But it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So, it's just a funny thing, this fear. But saying all that, I was talking about, that the world doesn't want to be scared of God. And they look for all sorts and kinds of ways not to be scared of God. And deny Him here and deny Him there and kick the Bible out of the schools and kick the Bible out of the United Nations and or bring in a corrupt version or whatever. All sorts of things like that, just to get rid of God's word and corrupt it and do anything that they can do so they don't have to be scared of that book and scared of them words. That's the reason you get rid of them. I mean, if it didn't bother them, then what's the use in fooling with a piece of paper that's just a book anyway? Why would you go out of your way to restrict words in a book written on paper if you didn't fear them? There's something about that book. And I know what it is. Do you? I know what it is. It's God the Holy Ghost. It liveth and abideth forever. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Them words are alive in that book because they're God's words. And God is alive. God is a God of life. He is life. But that fear is a funny thing, isn't it? It's a funny thing. And we went over and talked about them sort of things, and that Jesus mentioned fear out of his own mouth, the Son of God. God in the flesh. And he mentioned fear, and he warned about fear and gave warning about it and said, you better take heed. You better pay attention. And talked about several different things about fearing and not fearing. Even talked about things not to fear and what we are to fear and what we're not to fear. And in this study, we will go over that sort of thing. We'll talk about them things. But just recapping, we talked about that stuff, and then we got into definitions, and we went down through there, and we went over quite a bit of definitions. I'm counting like 9 in 1, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different definitions. Some of them sounding like and being relative to the others. But excuse me for coughing in your face. I didn't mean that. but anyway, fear. Today we're going to go back into our second study and begin our second study when it comes to this matter of fear and fear of the Lord. And we're going to begin talking about some causes of fear. Some causes of fear. Now remember, whenever we take a topic concerning anything in our ABCs of Christian Growth Studies, it's going to be a Bible topic. It's going to be something concerning God's Word and something concerning the God Himself. It's never going to be any worldly or some stupid, pathetic thing out there that don't mean diddly like science and philosophy and all that sort of nonsense. We don't need to study that. If you study God's Word, you'll get all the science and philosophy that you need. Yeah. Yeah. But we're going to study the causes of fear. And whenever we do study the causes of fear, we're going to be talking about what the Bible's opinion and what the Bible says concerning causes of fear. In other words, get them from the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures tell us in relation to causes of fear. You see, we know what kind of causes of fear are in the world. We know what causes fear in the world. I mean, it's all over the place. Man, there is a 100% increase in fear in society, and I'm not exaggerating. In my opinion, and I believe I'm right, there is at least 100%, if not more, increase in fear in society than when I was a boy, and that being in the 60s and 70s. There's 100% increase in fear in the environment, in society, in just the atmosphere of society. There's 100% increase in that. Don't you know that? Don't you know that you've been trained to fear? I mean, don't you remember whenever you used to leave your windows down in your car and pull into a convenience store and pull up there, leave your keys in the car, leave the windows down, maybe even leaving it running. Get out and go inside, take your time, don't worry about nothing, get you whatever you wanted, walk up there, and not even in a rush. Not looking at nobody, nobody looking at you, everybody minding their own business, come back outside and find everything just like you left it. Now what do you do? Pull up in a convenience store, look for a strategic parking place, find it, make sure you got your little unlock lock button in your hand, lock up your car, make sure it's locked, turn the alarm on in it, Leave, watch, look around, see who's watching you, who's looking at you, and if there's anybody around, walk into the store and keep looking around, always looking around, always looking around, find what you want and everything else, always looking around, always looking around, go pay for what you want, pull your money out and paranoia. And looking around, pay for what you got, go back outside, unlock your car, go over there, make sure nobody's behind you when you go to get in your car, crank it up and leave. That's not unrealistic. I'm not exaggerating. Fear. Fear. What's the Bible say about causes of fear? Real causes of fear. What does this show us? Well, let's begin. The first thing is that fear is caused by disobedience. By disobedience. Now, I told you that these causes are going to be scriptural, and they're going to come from the scriptures. And what saith the Lord? You know, you're never going to get the world to confess that they're scared because they're disobedient. They making excuses, and your philosophers and your psychologists and your this and all your teachers and all your this and all your that, they're saying that disobedience is not the cause of fear. That fear is a sickness. That fear is a mental disturbance. That fear is this and fear is that. And you shouldn't be scared of being disobedient. Nobody's disobedient. Because according to them, there's nobody to be obedient to. Because there is no God. Or there are many gods. You see how that thing goes? You see how that thing goes? But according to the scriptures, fear is caused by disobedience. By disobedience. And we know that. We're born again, children of God, and we're believers. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know our Heavenly Father. And we know that when we're disobedient, we fear more than we would normally fear being in the flesh and being on this planet, living in this world. But fear is caused by disobedience. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8 through 10, the Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." You know who we're talking about, Adam and Eve. "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Fear is caused by disobedience. It began in the garden. It began in the garden. When we disobey God, brothers and sisters, when you disobey the outright commandments and the wishes of your Lord, and you disobey it, and we do, but the Lord's made provision where you can correct that thing right away. Every day, every minute of the day, the Lord has made provision that you can fix something when you're disobedient. And every one of us, every day, should be using that fix. And what is that? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleans us right back up. And we don't have to fear no more. It takes the guilt away. Because I've done what God said, and I confessed it and told him the truth, and confessed it as it is and as it was, not making up no big, stupid, excusable story and blah-bitty-blab, but told him the truth, and he forgives that thing, erases it, and cleanses you from everything else that you don't even know about, and you start afresh again. And that could happen anywhere from at least 1 to 1,000 times a day, depending on how you're walking. But ain't you glad God done that for us? That's salvation from the power of sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin, not going to hell. We don't have to worry about that no more. But daily we need to be saved from the power of sin, because if you don't confess your sins, sin will overpower you. And it will cause you to fear, because you're being disobedient, and I'm being disobedient. Here's another example in Romans chapter 13, verse 2 through 4. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, now listen to this, he's talking about the powers that we live under. Right here in Romans, Brother Paul's teaching us that we don't have to worry about who's in charge. I mean, we should vote before God. If you have the privilege to be able to vote for your leaders, you should vote before the Lord and vote according to the Word of God as best as you can. And if you can't figure that out, then you're to vote against the wrong. Did you get that? I mean, either vote for the good that you know, or either vote against what you know is wrong and against God, if you have the power to be able to do that and the privilege to be able to do that. And you do that before the Lord. The Lord, I'm voting for this guy because he loves you, and I heard him say this, and he gives you the praise. Or, Lord, I don't know who to vote for, but this guy is wicked, and I'm voting against him. You see that? You see that thing? But whosoever, what Paul's teaching us right here is that we don't have to be worried about who's in charge, because God is in charge of them. And our God is who we serve. So he says, we're not to be disobedient to the authorities that are over us and to rebel against them. That's what the Lord says. Listen to it. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, talking about the powers that are over us, that God is over, resisteth the ordinance of God, God's orders. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You're going to be punished for it. You're going to get it somehow or another. For rulers, that's who he's talking about. That's the powers the Lord's teaching us about right now, the rulers that are over us. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, if you're doing good and you're doing right and you're not being disobedient but obedient to the Lord, if you're obedient to the Lord, you're obedient to everybody. You see how that thing works? They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, for rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're doing good, they're not after you. And there are some, especially today, some powers that abuse their power. But God is in control of that. And we got to understand that. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. Do you get that? Any ruler that's put in charge is God's minister, whether he be a good man or a wicked man. One way or another, the Bible teaches us that he is ministering for what God wants. He's doing what God tells him to do. And God's driving him. And God might be driving him, or he let Nebuchadnezzar, an evil ruler, go in there and destroy Jerusalem. He let Sennacherib go in there and do that mess. He let Titus go in there and do that mess. He let Hitler go in there and do that mess. You see? But that's to disobedient people. People that don't want God around, kicking him out and don't want him, and wicked as they can be, and don't care about God. But the rulers are under God. And if God sends an evil ruler, then there must be some disobedient going on. Because he says that rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Anytime you've been serving God, you've not had any trouble with the authorities, have you? I mean, even the evil authorities. They've left you alone pretty much, hadn't they? I mean, there's some things that probably could be corrected and fixed that we talk to the Lord about, but he knows about them. But when we're serving the Lord, we don't really worry about that, do we? It says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. So God uses the authorities to fix people that are disobedient, or to punish them, or to correct them. God uses the authorities for that. The Bible teaches us that. Paul taught us. New Testament. Pauline doctrine. Okay? So fear is caused by disobedience. If you're being obedient the majority of the time, you don't have to live in fear because you're minding the Lord. You know that you have confidence in the Lord. You know that the Lord's taking care of you. And even in a society like what we live in right now, that the essence of the atmosphere of society is fear, and society and the population is driven by fear, we still have peace under the authority of our Lord, don't we? Yes, we do. So, some causes of fear. The first thing is that fear is caused by disobedience. If you want to be disobedient, you're going to get scared. Because the Bible says in other places that just like Adam said, he said, I heard thy voice. I heard thy voice. Do you get that when we read that? Do you get that? I heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. He heard the voice of God. And whenever we're disobedient, don't you hear a voice? The Bible talks about God, the Holy Spirit, being a quiet voice that we hear. Isaiah talked about it. A still voice. A quiet voice. Hearing a voice. Yeah. Yeah. But fear. Fear is caused by disobedience. And that's not all. Here's another cause of fear. Fear is caused by impending judgment. By impending judgment. If you know that you're in trouble and that you're going to get it in the neck and it's coming and you know it, that causes fear. That causes fear. I mean, you ask anybody that's waiting on a court date. Anybody that's waiting on a court date or anybody that's fixing to go in, even a traffic violation, and you're going in for court date. There's something about going in there and standing before a judge. And standing in a courtroom where everything goes legal and your freedom's at stake. Fear is caused by impending judgment. But not only just down to the misdemeanor courts, but we're talking about all the way up to God's eternal throne. Impending judgment. It's coming. It's coming. And the scripture, the Lord mocks people that sit around and say, where is the sign of his coming? Well, where is God? You're always talking about God. God, if you're up there, I dare you to kill me. Oh, yeah. You keep it up, buddy. You keep it up. I had a buddy or a friend, an acquaintance, and well, I count him as a friend, but he's with the Lord now. But he was in a troubled men's camp up there that I ran. I went up there as a troubled man and stayed there in the program for a year and ended up being up there for about, from about 2004 to 2015. And then around 2006 or 2007, I started helping them out and ended up running the place because pastor got sick and died. And there was a fellow that came in that ministry, and one thing that he said that stuck with me, always sticks with me, and I never forget it. So it just dwells in me, and I remember that he said, you know something, Thurman? He said, one time I was sitting there, and I looked up at God with the most serious thing that I ever had in my life. I looked up at him, and I said, hey, God, come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. Yeah. Yeah. But since then, you know, he'd been in his Bible, and he stayed in Bible camp there, and he read, and he confessed his sins, and he got things right with the Lord. But the last I heard of him, he was back into the dope, and that he overdosed. And that's not been too long ago. That's probably in 2023, 2024. And he overdosed, and another fellow that was in the program emailed me and told me about it. But you know what the Lord said to me? He reminded me of what he said. He said, "You remember what Kelly said?" I said, "What was that, Lord?" And he said, "Come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out." You remember that? And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I decided to just go ahead and bring him up here. Instead of me coming down, I thought maybe he'd just come on up here." And yeah. Talk about fear. Fear is caused by impending judgment. I mean, I'll just bring him on up here and we'll discuss this thing. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Ain't been no rain. Nobody know anything about water coming out of the sky. This guy's building a stinking boat, an ark. It says by faith. He done it because he feared God. And God told him, "It's gonna happen. You better build a boat." And by faith, Noah, being warned of God. Let me ask you something. Is there any human being on this planet that does not know that they have been warned of God's judgment on mankind? Do you think there's anybody at all that's ignorant to that? Anybody at all that doesn't know in their heart that they're going to give judgment to God? I mean, before all the deceit comes in and all the lies that we make up and all the this, that, and the other and all the rocks and the stones and the trees that you carve out and blah, 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 blah. Before all that, I'm talking about starting out in the heart. Do you think in the hearts of all people and all men that they know there's an impending judgment? God says they know. As a matter of fact, he says they're without excuse. Yeah. Noah knew, being warned of God, of things as things not seen as yet. He moved with fear. He said, "Man, God's going to kill everybody. I'm doing what God says." Fear is caused by impending judgment. If you know there's a judgment coming, you should get scared. I mean, somebody sends you a summons in the mail to be in court. That changes things a little bit in your daily living, doesn't it? That's just a man's court. Look at this in 2 Peter chapter 3. Listen to what Peter says. Peter nails it down now. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So what's going to happen to the earth, folks? All these people talking about the earth is going to be around forever and blabbity blabbity blab. What does the Bible say? "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Have you ever burned anything up? Was there anything left after you burned it up? Okay. "Seeing then that all these things shall be," in case you didn't know what burned up means, "dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, just like Noah, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I don't think it gets any clearer than that, do you? Do you? Fear is caused by impending judgment. You know, all these Christians, all this Laodicean hogwash Christianity going on in the world today, and I know people don't like to hear preachers and teachers talk like that, but it's true. Some of this stinking rock and roll Christianity and all this stinking mumbo jumbo, mamby pamby, ain't got one, the Holy Ghost ain't within a million miles of some of these church services. Handling stinking snakes and dancing all over the place and women rolling around on the ground shaking and shivering and dress up to their neck and all kind of ungodly, wicked garbage going on in the name of God. You don't think God's going to bring all that to judgment? You don't think that kind of behavior and in the name of God especially? Fear. And not scared a bit. These people running around talking about the prosperity gospel. All these Benny Hinn's and all these other yo-yos out there taking crippled people's money and just stealing from them and doing all that in the name of God and flying in Lear jets. And saying, Jesus, I seen Jesus and Jesus told me I should buy a jet. Ain't scared one bit. Fear is caused by impending judgment. They're putting impending judgment in the closet instead of all the queers and the fags and the homos and the false teachers and the women that want to rule men. All this has come out of the closet, and they're putting impending judgment and the fear of God in the closet. You see that, Matt? You see that thing? You see how that works? And they're not scared. And the Lord says, oh, yes, they will be. Oh, yes, they're going to be scared. They're going to be scared. But what are we talking about? We're talking about causes of fear according to the scriptures and what should be and what actual fear is and what causes fear and what righteous fear is and what real fear is and what fear that matters is that should be. Fear is caused by disobedience. Fear is caused by impending judgment. If you know you're going to be judged, you ought to be scared. You ought to fear. I'm not talking about reverential trust. Well, Lord, you know that I trusted you. Yeah, but you live like hell. And you disgrace my name. And you're the filthiest Christian that ever walked the planet. You getting this? Fear is caused by impending judgment. If you say that you're saved, and you say you really fear God, and you care about His way, and you care about what God thinks, you ought to know that the judgment seat of Christ is coming. You're not going to be judged over the penalty of sin, because your sins have been taken away by the blood of Christ and you have Christ's righteousness on you. But you will stand before the Son of God at the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for the works that you did in that body after you were saved. You do have an impending judgment coming, Christian. Do you fear that? Peter said you should. Noah said you should. Anybody's got any kind of wisdom about them at all or any kind of brain in their head ought to. But if you look around just at the Christian realm, Christianity in society, if you just look at that alone, it looks, man, it's filthy. It's filthy. They don't fear an impending judgment. Christians don't fear an impending judgment. And that judgment seat of Christ is really going to be something. It's going to be something. Not near what the white throne judgment's going to be, but, or as tragic as that's going to be, but there's going to be a lot of tragedy at the judgment seat of Christ because there's going to be a lot of loss that didn't have to be. Because the Lord is going to bring to your attention whether or not you glorified Him after He saved you and gave you, granted you eternal life and gave you eternal life and saved your soul and quickened your spirit and helped you out and been with you and never left you or forsook you. But how'd you treat Him? You see that thing? And that's the stuff Christians don't want to hear. They got itchy ears and they don't want to hear all that mess. They want to hear about prosperity and good things and how God is so good and God is God. He's the God of love and all that sort of business. But not what the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches that fear is caused by impending judgment, and a Christian that is indeed a Christian that's living for the Lord ought to have some sort of fear in him. It ought to cause him to fear. What else? Well, fear is caused by persecution. Now you get into some fear. Yeah. Christians are. I mean, the early church had that. The Apostle Paul came about. But the Apostle Paul scared the dickens out of the beginning of the church when the church first started. After the resurrection and the ascension, I mean, the Apostle Paul was going around, man, he was killing and persecuting, and he was even at Stephen's death when they stoned Stephen, and he agreed with it. Kill that sucker! But after he got saved and he met the Lord Jesus Christ and he brought in the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles and started, switched everything over to this new, the gospel of the grace of God, the new covenant, the New Testament that we're under, and what Jesus paid for, and all that sort of stuff, fear is caused by persecution. The early Christians were scared of Paul. They were scared. Whenever Jesus died during the 3 days he was in the tomb, 3 days, nights and days that he was in the tomb, when he came out, where was all the apostles? Where did the Bible over and over say all the apostles and all his followers were? They were in the upper room with the door locked for fear of the Jews. Yeah. The Bible says in John chapter 7 and verse 12 and 13, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Fear of the Jews. Them Jews were after Christ. They killed him, and they were after anybody and everybody else that brought his name up. The Bible even teaches that if he didn't speak his name, we won't know who he is. Get him. Fear is caused by persecution. And Christian, if you are one of the ones that are living for the Lord, sincere in your heart, and you are living for the Lord, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to get it. No matter wherever it comes from, you know, you don't have to go looking for it. It's going to find you. There might be some pervert or something like that, don't like the way you hold your Bible or something like that, or don't like you walking through Walmart with a tract or a Bible or something. I mean, anything and everything that goes on, you know, and anybody that can find anything to persecute the name of Christ and the Word of God, and you, because you're affiliated with Him. Fear is caused by persecution. John chapter 20 and verse 19, the Bible says, now we're talking about fear and the fear of the Lord. Right now we're discussing causes of fear. John chapter 20 and verse 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The world brings persecution for being affiliated with the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus, when He comes, He brings peace to those that love Him, love the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Fear is caused by persecution. If you're any kind of a Christian and you're living a sincere and real Christian walk, then you've been persecuted somewhere, somehow. And that's okay, because the Lord says you're going to be very well rewarded, and He's going to present you before the Father and brag on you for that. Isn't that something? Oh, my. Just keep on, brother and sister. Don't quit. Just keep on. It's nonsense. What the Lord says is real, and what the Bible teaches us about this world is absolutely correct. This world is in darkness. It doesn't care. It's going to persecute you. Anytime you name the name of Christ and the Word of God, and you start talking about the Word of God instead of manipulating His words and trying to make them look like the world and not be so offensive and all this gobbledygook that goes on in the world, you're going to be persecuted, and probably have. Don't quit. Just keep on. Just keep on. Finish right. Just finish right, and finish unashamedly. Let there be a part of your life that is consecutive and that has no breaks in it, that you were consistent with the Lord in your walk with Him and faithful with Him, just like Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I didn't quit. I didn't deny the Lord. I didn't quit on the Lord in my heart. I kept on. And just take it. Just take it. I mean, they're going to persecute you. Fear is caused by persecution. And that's not a sin. You being scared of persecution is not a sin. The Lord teaches us not to be scared of them. He said for us not to fear them, because they're going to get it. And He's going to give it to them, and He's going to dish it out to them, and they're going to get it. But fear does cause us. Fear of persecution does cause us to fear. But just take it to the Lord, and don't quit. Here's another one. We're talking about fear is caused by persecution. Acts chapter 9. And verse 10 through 17, the Bible says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul, which we know as the Apostle Paul now. That was his name before he got saved. And the Lord changed his name, Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, For he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, which he did, and kings, which he did, and the children of Israel, which he did. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, he called him brother, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's when Paul's the little things fell out of his eyes, and he got his sight back, and he began to serve the Lord, and he went off into the he went off into a class to learn for a little while before he came back and started preaching and teaching. Okay, so we see there that fear is caused by persecution. This man didn't want to go talk to Paul. He heard of Paul. Paul kills Christians. He said, the Lord told him, said, he's saved now. Go do what I told you to do and just obey me. I know it's scary, and I know that this man is the one. You're right. He did kill Christians. He did hate Christians, and he despised them, and he done everything he can to persecute me also. But he's saved now, and he's a brother. He's your brother in Christ, and God the Holy Ghost is going to be dwelling in him when you get there. And you get over there and tell him what I told you, and let's get his eyesight, and let's get this thing about this new covenant going in this New Testament, and get these Gentiles saved. And Ananias did it, and he minded the Lord, and that's what you need to do. Fear is caused by persecution. It is, brothers and sisters, but obey the Lord. Obey him. God knows what he's doing. He knows who's saved and who's not saved. He knows who knows him and who doesn't know him. And God is more powerful than all of our enemies. And he's more powerful than those that persecute us. And he can put a stop to it anytime he wants to. But just obey the Lord. Don't let persecution and the fear of persecution drive you away from obeying the Lord. Just obey the Lord. Amen? All right, what else? Well, what have we talked about so far? Well, the causes of fear. Fear is caused by disobedience. Fear is caused by impending judgment. Fear is caused by persecution. And that's not all. Fear is caused by events of nature. By the events of nature. Even the Bible teaches us that. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 14, remember when Paul was on that ship? And in Acts 27 and verse 14, it says, But not long after there arose against it a tempest wind called Euroclydon. I mean, this wind was so bad, it was like, I don't know if it was a hurricane or whatever it might have been, but it was out over the sea, and it tear a ship all to pieces. It was called, they even named it, a Euroclydon. It was a wind of nature, and the sailors knew about it, and they knew of it, and they got to see one out there that it said a tempestuous wind, a bad one. And that was the one that they called Euroclydon. And it caused fear. All them people in the boat. I mean, the Apostle Paul was up there, but all the people, all them fellows in the boat, man, they were scared to death. Fear is caused by the events of nature. There's things that happen in nature that scare, that cause fear. We're talking about fear. Our study is about fear and the fear of the Lord. Acts chapter 27 and verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. This is the same bunch on that ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. They made a plan to point their ship toward this island and run it full blast into the shore so that the waves, they wouldn't get caught up in the rocks, and the waves beat the ship all to pieces and kill every one of them. They was trying to do what they could because nature was tearing that ship out from under them, and they were sitting on water. they were feared. They feared. And it was caused by an event of nature. Of course, we know that the Lord was behind that because we have the Word of God, and we know from the front and the beginning and the end, and we know what happened. But nature, I mean, you live in Florida, you got hurricanes come up through here all the time. You live up north, you got those Arctic blasts that come through there and all them cold things that come through there. And man, when that ice, you talk about snow coming down in the cold, but when you got everything iced over, I mean, even the trees and the power lines and every single thing is frozen hard as a rock. You want to talk about something scary? I've lived in one of them. Fear is caused by the events of nature. Nature can scare you to death. I mean, and that ought to put us in the fear of the Lord, because He's the one that made all that stuff. And if you're scared of a little old wind that comes through, and you're scared of a little old water that splashes on the boat, and you're scared of a little snow coming down and ice knocking the power out and freezing to death, and you're scared of all that, you ain't scared of the one that makes all that stuff and controls it? That don't make no sense, does it? That's just ignorant. Acts chapter 27, listen to what the Bible says. Then fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, this is the same bunch, we're reading the same thing, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, I guess that's the lifeboat, when they had let down the boat into the sea off of the ship, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. Because, see, Paul, that angel came, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it was the angel. It was an angel that talked to him, but he said, an angel that I serve. And you don't serve angels, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So a Christophany, where the Lord presented himself before Paul. And when you think of angel, and that's another study in the ABCs of Christian growth, when you think of angel really just means an appearance. An angel is an appearance. When you think of an angel, think of an appearance. And that'll help it make a lot more sense to you when you're reading about angels and studying about them in the scriptures and stuff. And you say, well, how can the Lord present himself and be called an angel? Well, he was the Lord Jesus Christ, but he appeared, an angel appeared before Paul. Okay, and that was not the first time. But anyway, reading what we're reading, fear is caused by the events of nature. Then fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. When the Lord met Paul prior to that on that ship, he said, I'm going to save you from this shipwreck, and I'm going to save everybody on the ship too. But they got to stay on the ship. And that's what Paul's telling them here. Except these abide on the ship, they cannot be saved. And they cut the lifeboat loose and minded Paul and stayed on the ship. And everybody was saved. Just like the Lord said. But if it had jumped off and disobeyed and got on that boat, and then that water would probably beat them against the rocks and killed every one of them. But the Lord appeared and told Paul that he was going to save them all, and he did. But nature, fear is caused by the events of nature. Those guys were scared, man. This water's going to kill us. This wind is going to kill us. These rocks are going to kill us. This ship is breaking all to pieces against these rocks, and now it's stuck in the sand, and the wind's beating it against the rocks, and it's going to beat it right out under us and kill every one of us. Let's get out of here. Paul said, stay on the ship, because the Lord told me he'll save us all, but stay on the ship. And they did, and they were saved. What else? Well, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. The Lord comparing himself and his mockery and his laughing at those that take him lightly and make fun of him and make fun of his ways. Just, you know what I'm talking about, that don't fear him. Here's what the Lord's answer to him is. I'll laugh at your calamity. When your troubles start coming and your calamity comes and you having some devastation and bad times and stuff like that, he said, I'm going to mock when your fear comes. You're scared now, ain't you? You say, that ain't the God. That ain't the God of the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. You better learn what the Lord's like. You didn't know the Lord was like that? He said, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. You know what the Bible calls a whirlwind? I mean, that's what a hurricane is. That's what a tornado is, a whirlwind. The Lord says when your desolation and your fear comes and your calamity comes and it's like a whirlwind, it's just tearing everything in your life and everything all to pieces and everything's just falling to pieces and it's like a whirlwind's running through. When distress and anguish cometh upon you and you're having it real hard, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You don't want to get in no place like that with the Lord. You do not want to get in a place like that with the Lord. We're talking about fear is caused by the events of nature. What else? Well, Job. Job talks about that. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind. And cold out of the north, by the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. The Bible says God uses nature for correction. Did you get that? Fear is caused by the events of nature. All these hurricanes, people say, well, that's just the way it is. It comes from over across the Atlantic and comes up and comes up through the this and that and the other and comes over toward Cuba and up through the this and that and the other and then up into the Gulf of Mexico if it doesn't turn into the Atlantic and all this and that and the other. And it's just the way things are, and it's the season, and it's this and it's that. Now, sometimes it's driven specifically by the Lord. Might even be just to get one wicked person and kill them. Yeah. Yep. That's Job. Here's one more. Exodus chapter 19. Listen to this. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. That's when Moses said that he exceedingly feared and quaked. And the people were so scared, they said, please tell God don't talk to us no more. Let him talk to you and you talk to us. And that was just seeing the Lord come down on a mountain. That wasn't standing before a judgment before him and seeing him with your eyes. Let's look at one more and we'll stop. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. Now we're talking about, this is under fear is caused by the events of nature. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54 says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, this is at the crucifixion when Jesus was on the cross, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Fear is caused by the events of nature. What are we talking about? Our study is about fear and the fear of the Lord. We're talking about today, our topic is causes of fear. Well, the scriptures have taught us that fear is caused by disobedience. That fear is caused by impending judgment. That fear is caused by persecution. That fear is caused by the events of nature. And we have several more that we're going to go over. Probably right at, another as many that we've been over already. That fear is caused by. And we'll go over them on our next one, okay? All right. Well, we'll stop right there. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 54 was our last verse. Let me go ahead and give you these verses for today. And we'll stop right there and pick up and talk some more about this, what fear is caused by, and carry on some more with our study of fear and fear of the Lord. It's good stuff, isn't it? It's good stuff. And I'm glad that the Bible's teaching us it, because it comforts us, even though it's fear, and we're talking about fear, and we see the scriptures, it kind of soothes fear, and puts fear in its right place, doesn't it? Yeah. All right, well, here are the scriptures. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 2 through 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. John chapter 7, verse 12 through 13. John chapter 20, verse 19. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 17. Acts chapter 27, verse 14. Acts chapter 27, verse 17, and then Acts chapter 27, verse 29 through 31. That's where Paul was on that ship with those fellows. All right, and then Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Job chapter 37, 9 through 13. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 through 18. And the last one for today is Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. And that's all. And we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up on our next one when we come back together around God's Word in the ABCs of Christian growth. God bless you for studying God's Word. You never, ever, ever will regret just sitting down and studying God's Word and listening to what saith the Lord. It always, always, always helps us out somewhere or another. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. The Lord bless you and yours, and I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.